The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the 12, "Fear no one. Nothing is concealed that will not be revealed, nor secret that will not be known. What I say to you in the darkness, speak in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in Gehenna. Are not two sparrows sold for a small coin? Yet not one of them falls to the ground without your Father's knowledge. Even all the hairs of your head are counted. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Everyone who acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my heavenly Father. But whoever denies me before others, I will deny before my heavenly Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This is a really, really tricky gospel passage. I'm going to try to take us through it with intention. My first question, though, is this. What is the most often repeated command in all of Scripture? Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And I think as a sidebar, we might do well to actually review in our lives what our fears are, because those are probably points of spiritual weakness, and we can ask God for strength even in those places. But do not be afraid. But this passage is not very simple, right? Because why is it, second question, why is it that Jesus says to his apostles, to the people he's sending out on his mission, why is it that he says to them they should not be afraid? Don't jump to the end, right, where he says the sparrow and the love of God and the rest. That's not what Jesus says in the first glance here. What he says is, nothing is concealed that will not be revealed. So your inner life, your inner motivations will be revealed, so don't be afraid. Well, that sounds pretty scary, right? It sounds pretty... Who here, I mean, I could ask to raise hands, and I would tell you don't put it up, but how many of us here would like that to happen, to have their inner life revealed? Yeah, good, you learned, right? No hands. Okay, so why is it that Jesus says that? When he sends his apostles on mission, they are about the work of Jesus, which is making God's love present in the world. They are committing themselves whole and entire to Jesus, to the Messiah, to Israel's true King and Lord, the Lord of the entire world, who conquers the world with love. I saw it, and a brief commentary on just that. I saw someone else commenting just this week on the fact that Jesus does not want to be a part of your life. Jesus wants to be the whole thing. Jesus does not want to be a part of your life. He wants your entire life. He wants your entire life. Why do I say that? Because hardly any of this makes sense if we're not trying to do that. If we're not trying to give Jesus our entire life, and also then we're not trying to embody with every fiber of our being the love of God made flesh in Jesus. Okay. When they go out then, in order to conquer the world with the love of God, people are liable to say all kinds of things about them. Think about we could think about them speaking the truth to power. That's one thing they had to do. They had to oppose evil in every form. And we have to do that as well. And what are people going to say about us? I should say when we do, right? Not if we do, but when we do, what are people going to say about us? Sometimes bringing truth in love to people looks like we're being hard-headed or callous or bigoted or whatever, right? This is the way the world tends to look at authentic Christianity today. So we can take great consolation in this part of the passage because it's ours to bring the love of God to life, to give witness to Jesus in every fiber of our being. And you know what? We can put up with being called bigots because at the end, nothing is concealed that will not be revealed. At the end, we will be vindicated, provided our motivation is the love of God. If we're guided and directed, sustained, nourished by the love of God, and we're attempting to bring God's love to life, we're going to be fine. Because this will be revealed, our motivation. Okay. Now, do not be afraid. It only makes sense because Jesus is sending his disciples out. Yeah, he's gathered them in, and now he's sending them out on his mission. Do not be afraid, because you're on my mission, and you will be vindicated just as Jesus himself suffered and died for that very same mission. So too we live in the light of that good news, that the love of God is stronger even than death. And the love of God can, in fact, restore the entire world. And the love of God can, in fact, restore your heart, provided that we allow it to, provided that we allow Jesus to have his way with us. Okay? Now, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body. So it's not just do not be afraid. There is something to fear. And that's if we were to veer off course and not take up Jesus' mission with the life and love that he gives us. Because we can be fixated on an injustice, right? It's good that we recognize injustice. And we ought to go out and conquer injustice with the power of God, which is love. But we might be tempted to fight fire with fire. And this would then be our using the tools of the devil for the work of the kingdom of God. It's not possible. So Jesus gives his apostles this warning as he sends them. It's not just the goal, but it's every step of the journey. It's not just what you're going to achieve. The apostles made disciples throughout the entire world. But they did it because they walked faithfully with Jesus. They didn't try to make disciples by the sword. And if they had, it would not have been successful. And it would not have worked. It wouldn't have taken. They were conquering the world with the love of God. The same for us. If we're ever tempted to be motivated by anything other than love, we're playing for the other team. And we ought to be afraid of that. We ought to fear God and the consequences of not representing him, of not following him, of not doing his work and will in every part of our life's journey. Okay, the next movement. But do not be afraid, because God loves you. And he loves you more than you can imagine. One bird he notices, every hair on your head, no matter how many you lose every day, right? I'm not counting, God's counting. I don't know what it is, right? But every hair on your head, he counts, he knows. The depth of his love for you, okay, for you, the depths of his love for you are unimaginable. Live in that love. Trust in that love. And if we but follow Jesus every step of the way, if we acknowledge him before others if we witness to the love of God made manifest in us by being more loving, kind, patient, generous, compassionate people, we have nothing at all to fear. So this week, what do? We love boldly. We love boldly because of the love that's been shown to us in Christ Jesus. We love boldly, the rest will take care of itself.